You know, when we first came here to Albany from North Alabama, we tried to think about all the differences of what it would be like to live here than living in North Alabama. Now, some of you who are originally from other places can appreciate this, because we found out that there is a lot of differences in people who live 400 miles apart. But then there are so many similarities as well. But we began to try to think about, you know, some of the differences that we would encounter by moving down here to South Georgia. One of the things that we noticed right off is everything is flat down here. You have no hills or mountains. And North Alabama is loaded with hills and mountains. And we also found out that you don't have winters down here to speak of. And that was a nice change. We really appreciate not having the ice and the snow that we had back home. Somebody says, well, you know, they have hurricanes down there. And I said, well, yeah, that may be true, but that can't be worse than living in the southeastern tornado alley, which we live right in the middle of it. At least with hurricanes, you have enough time to run, where in tornadoes, you don't. So that was somewhat of a difference in our thinking. But, you know, in all the things that we were trying to put together and the differences of living up there and living down here, one thing we didn't think about, alligators. Because we don't have alligators in North Alabama. The closest thing that we have in the Tennessee River, you can every now and then catch what they call a gator catfish, and it's just simply a catfish with a long snout. That's about as close as we get to an alligator. And so that was something that we didn't plan on, and we found out when we got down here that y'all have alligators down here. In fact, the Flint River is just filled with them. Shortly after we moved down, just about three blocks down the street, right across from the Sherwood Baptist Church, there used to be a little swampy area. They have filled it up and covered it now. But there used to be a little swampy area down there, and somebody found an alligator in that little swamp there across from that church. And that really got my attention, because that was three blocks away, and you find an alligator three blocks away from your house. And so it seems like for the next month or so, every time I walk out the back door, I'm doing this. You know, I'm looking to see if there's an alligator nearby. Back home, you know, we had things like foxes and possums and deer in our backyard, but we never had an alligator. So that was something that we was not prepared for. Come to find out, they don't bother anybody generally, and I was very glad for that. Out in Texas, there is a state park out there, and it's called the Brazos Bend State Park. And it is a wilderness park, and one of the things that they allow there is they allow their alligators to roam freely. And when you enter the park, all of the visitors are given a set of rules, and it's entitled Alligator Etiquette. And as you ride through the park, you will find these rules. It's a little brochure they hand you, and sometimes you will see them laying on the side of the road, and you'll find them in the trash, or maybe as you walk around, you see them in somebody's car laid up on the dashboard. They have not been yet read. And only a few people actually read these rules called alligator etiquette. Now me, it'd be the first thing I would look at, because I don't want to have to deal with one of those things. I want to suggest to you tonight that there are some spiritual lessons that we can learn from this Texas State Park rule books about alligators. And I want us to take a look at some of these rules. You know, God has also given us a complete set of rules to follow our lives by. And unfortunately, like these people have treated the alligator rule book, we find that God's rule book is sometimes completely ignored. We find sometimes that they'll just toss it aside and say, I'll read it later, and they never read it. Sometimes they read it, but they won't live by it, and they don't enforce themselves by these rules. And very occasionally do you find one that would like to take God's rule book and read it and follow it. There are many responses that we find in the scripture where people have dealt with God's word. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter is introducing God's new will to the people for the very first time. And it says in verse 37 that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was their response to God's rule book. They wanted to know what they can do to abide by and comply with God's rule book. So that's a very good way to respond to the rule book that God has given to us. In Acts 2 and verse 41, we find that they gladly received this word. They were baptized, and the same day, 3,000 souls were added to them. So again, this was a wonderful beginning of God giving the people His rule book. And they followed it, or at least those 3,000 followed it on that day. It was not the case a few chapters down in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen preached to the people, it says that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They didn't respond the same way that the people did on the day of Pentecost. They responded in a very negative way, and they killed Stephen because of his teaching God's book to them. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 in Samaria, it says here that the people with one accord gave heed to the things that Philip spake and added unto them, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So here we have another positive response to God's book being introduced to the people here on this occasion. Now, let's go on down a little farther into Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 32. Paul is speaking to the men on the Areopagus in Athens, Greece, very educated men. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear this matter again." So Paul departed from among them, and howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysus and the Areopagite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with them. So we find a mixed reaction to Paul's presenting God's word to them. Some believed, some mocked, some laughed, some followed. So again, a mixture of how people responded when God's rule book was given to them. And then Paul finds himself standing before Felix in Acts chapter 24. And it says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. That means that he really understood what Paul was telling him. And he answered, "Go thy way for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for thee." So here we have, I want to do this, but I'm not going to do this. I know I need to do this, but I'm not going to do this. This was a different type of response that Felix received, or his response to the gospel was. And then finally in Acts 26, we find King Agrippa. Paul standing before King Agrippa, and he was acting happy. He said, "I'm glad to be here. I'm happy to stand before you and present to you God's rule book." And King Agrippa's response was, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Not quite there. I'm not going to do it. And he didn't do it. But almost he read and obeyed the rule book. So just as the people with the alligator rule book in the Texas State Park, we find people respond to God's rule book in different ways. You know, I'd like for us to take a look at what was in this alligator etiquette rule book tonight. And let's see if we can't make some spiritual application as to what it said. First of all, and this was pretty important, absolutely do not feed or annoy the alligators. Now, I want to see a hand count. Who in here would deliberately annoy an alligator? Who would do that? I mean, nobody there. Do you know we have a hand go up back here? It was Will. Y'all keep Will away from the alligators. No one would really want to annoy something that large, something with so many teeth that could rip your arm off in a heartbeat. No one would do that, would they? Of course not. You know, the park officials of this state park understands the potential danger of alligators. And so they warn the people, stay away from the alligators. You know, this alligator etiquette sheet reminds the people there, they are in the alligator's world. They're not in our world. You know, when we conquered America from the Indians, we say, well, America is ours. We didn't conquer it from the alligators, folks. They still do what they want and go where they want, and whatever they want to do is theirs freely. These people are in the alligators' world. So this rule book is for their good. And it's also, as we'll find later on, it is good for the alligators as well. You know, I don't know why it is, but we have people who want to see how close to danger that they can get. To see how close they can come to an element of danger without actually going over into danger. You know, by the same token, God knows the danger of Satan and of sin. Now, we may not, well, I guess we really don't understand the danger of Satan the way God does. Peter tells us that we need to be very careful with him because he is our adversary. Be sober, he said, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. You know, there's another animal you don't want to mess with. Seeking whom he may devour. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 9, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And then he says something similar to that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. He said, abstain from every form of evil. My friends, we must stay away from sin, and God's rule book helps us do that. It tells us how to avoid sin, how to fight sin, and how to win over Satan and sin. Which, by the way, is far, far more dangerous than any alligator. Rule number two in the Texas State Alligator Etiquette Rule Book. Speak to those violating the rules or contact the park ranger immediately. Now, you know, a lot of us have this, I'm going to keep everything to myself attitude. People want to do this, let them. You know, why would the park officials want to know if someone is doing something to an alligator? Why would you want to do that? Well, number one, they may not know the rules. Well, yeah, a lot of folks don't care about rules. Number two, it's for their own safety. I traveled to South Florida on one occasion, and we got to tour through a alligator park. Just south of Naples. And while we were there, this guy comes in, and he alligators, they were inside of a fence. And the guy comes in, and he's got a bucket full of food. It got every alligator's attention. Now, alligators, by nature, are not aggressive unless you give them reason to be. He gave them reason to be because he had a bucket of food. That's why you don't feed the alligator. He would walk up with a fish and pop an alligator on the snout. Of course, he knew which ones to pop because I think he knew which ones that would jump and which ones wouldn't. Well, he made a mistake. And he popped an alligator on the snout that moved, and the alligator lurched after him, and he barely got out of the way. It's not safe to fool with this animal. And park officials did not want anyone to get hurt. And even if they had to offend them, even if they had to run them out of the park, they're going to leave alive. And that was what they were after. Now, let me ask you this question. You may not call the park ranger to tell them an alligator is being played with by one of the people there. But if someone is drifting in sin, will you warn them? Would you let them know that their soul is in danger? Would you tell them that the sin that they are participating in is about to destroy them? Would you do that? You know, the Lord tells us that we are responsible when we fail to warn others. In Ezekiel chapter 3, in verse 17, it says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. We are responsible to warn other people of their sin. And if we fail to warn those of their sin and those who are living in sin, God will hold us accountable for that. How long will we allow Satan to attack someone before we take action and do something about it? Would we just sit back and hope the sinner comes to his own senses and stops what he's doing and maybe mature to the point to where he grows out of his sin? Is that what we would do? You know, that makes about as much sense as sitting back and hoping someone will work his way out of the jaws of an alligator. We are responsible to warn people of the danger that they are in spiritually. Number three, if you love your pet, keep it on a leash. Park officials will let you know that to let your pet run free in this park can be deadly for your pet. All right, let's say that you decide to go visit with this park and you take Fido with you, a little dog that you have in your home that you love and cherish in the greatest way. You start out and you have him on a leash and the little dog wants to run and he wants to play and so you let him go. And you let that little dog run free. Now, we all know the mentality of a dog. He is going to run after and bark at anything that moves. Let me tell you something that you may not know about dogs. Dogs do not have the mental ability to distinguish differences in sizes. A little dog sees himself as big as a big dog. And a big dog will see himself as big as a cow. They cannot distinguish size among themselves. And that's why, you know, the little dogs always try to fight with the big dogs, and they know they can't, but they don't know they can't because they see themselves on equal terms. But whether it's a Pekingese or a Great Dane, what chance would it have against an alligator? None whatsoever. Now, by the same token, what chance do we have on our own against the devil? Absolutely none. We need guidance. We need boundaries. We need discipline to help us survive against Satan. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 that evil company corrupts good morals. And also in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. As strange as this may sound, we do need to watch out for each other. We do need to put ourselves on that proverbial leash that we put our animals on so that we can remain safe from Satan. Number four. Do not assume alligators are slow-moving or sluggish. When you look at an alligator, you think, well, that old lazy thing, what could he do? I could walk up to him and slap him on the side of the head and be out of the way before he would even know what hit him. My friends, that is not true. Alligators are extremely fast, at least for short-distance running. In fact, it has been estimated that for the first 30 or 40 feet, the average alligator will outrun even the fastest sprinter. And in the water, no one can outrun the alligator. You know, Satan is about that deceptive. He may look slow. He may look sweet. He may look kind and loving. But it is as deceptive as the alligator who lays in the sand seemingly asleep. You know, Satan began his life with deception by deceiving Eve. And ever since, he has been deceiving man into thinking that he was something when he was something else. Jesus speaks of this to the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Listen to some of these warnings that we receive from God's rule book. Matthew 7, 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Luke 21, 8 and 9. Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time is drawn near. Do not go after them. Colossians 2, verse 8 and 9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality and all other sin. Do not be deceived by it. Satan will deceive you into coming to him, because he's slow and he's sluggish, and he may have something or be something you think you need. And then about the time you get close enough, he jumps and you're caught. Satan's deception, of course, is worse than any alligator. So are the consequences. Whether it be alcohol, sexual desires, false teachers, riches, pride, he uses them all to deceive you. Number five, if you hook a fish while fishing, an alligator may go after your catch. And I don't know if that's ever happened here or not. I expect that it has. In the rule book it says, do not continue to fish near an alligator that is interested in your fishing area. An alligator will take your bait. He will take your catch. If this happens, cut your line and go fish somewhere else. Alligators will also attack those who are fishing from the shore. Now, this is making reference to new converts. We go fishing, don't we? From a spiritual standpoint, we are fishers of men as Christians. We bring our new converts into the church. We need to help them. We need to help guide them and train them in how to watch out for this adversary that we have, the devil. New converts are known as babes in Christ, and they're easy prey for the devil. Would we leave a newborn baby on its own to fend for itself? Of course not, because we know newborn babes are basically helpless. Would we ever leave a newborn babe in a situation like this? Of course not. But unfortunately, sometimes spiritually, we do. We need to remember what Peter said. The devil's on the prowl. He's looking, he's stalking, and he's ready to strike. And he will strike, as any animal in the jungle will, the easy prey. You know, there are so many who are attacked by an alligator. Some of them are fortunate enough to live. But you know, those folks carry a scar that will be with them for the rest of their lives. Maybe a missing limb, maybe a lifetime limp, who knows? But there is always a scar when you're attacked by an alligator. I want to tell you, my friend, sin works the very same way. Yes, we can receive forgiveness of our sins, but sometimes our sins leave a scar. And it is a scar that will haunt us. It is a scar that will plague us for the rest of our lives. Always remember, he is looking for you. He is out for you. And so many times we like to say, well, you know, things like that don't happen to me. They happen to the other person. I think what we have gone through in the last 2 years and what we're actually still going through now with COVID-19 is a rebuttal of that statement. Because there are a lot of people that's laying in the graveyard right now who never thought that COVID could touch them. No, I'm not going to pay any attention to the rules or regulations. I'm not going to get the shot. I'm not going to play safe. I'm not going to do the things that I need to do to protect myself or protect my family, because it's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to someone else. So the next thing you know, you're the one laying in the hospital with a ventilator on. My friends, we can't do that. We have to abide by the rules, because the rules, our rules, as imperfect as they are better than nothing. God's rules are absolutely perfect, and we know that if we abide by them, we will win. We can obey the park's rules if we go to Texas, and we can leave there clear and free from the alligator. By the same token, we can leave Satan's world and not be hurt by it if we will follow God's rule book. So tonight, my friend, if you are not a Christian, the rule book that has been given to us by our Savior says, obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. That's God's rule. Nothing else is going to save you. Nothing else is going to get you to heaven. These are the rules that you must comply with. So why don't you do that? Instead of tossing that book away or laying it up on a shelf or just reading it and taking it half-heartedly. And Christian, we have to continue living God's rules. We have to continue to open that book. We have to continue to study. We have to continue to understand. We have to continue to comply with God's word in every way. Are you doing that as a Christian? If not, again, follow God's rule book. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God has promised to forgive, and he will. So if you see your life is not the way it needs to be, repair it tonight. And use God's rule book to do so. Oh, we can live with alligators. We live here in South Georgia with alligators. We have to learn how to live with Satan. We have to learn how to put him out of our way. We have to learn how to get away from him. We have to learn how to fight him when he faces us. And we can do it, but we can only do it with God's rule book. Tonight, if you need to respond, please come while we stand and sing.